Rachel Armstrong here at 16 Karat Gold. Please go like, subscribe, and follow Trash Club Podcast.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Catch Club podcast, because as you can already hear, this episode is on English, and if you look on the calendar and if you follow us, you can imagine what is about to follow, because we want to continue something that I'm Sebastian, and Drew is also with me, and I will introduce Hello. Him shortly. Hello, Drew.
Hi.
And something that we started last year, as you may know, I traveled to the Scenic City Invitational in 2023 and 2024 again in 2024 together with Drew. And therefore, SEI holds a special place in our heart. And last year, we started to do a preview and a review on the SEI, and we are going to preview this year's SEI, which will be happening on the upcoming weekend on the day of the recording, which is Saturday, July 11th. And once again, we have Val Pancakes as our guest. Welcome, Val, and thank you for taking the time. And for the people who don't know who you are, maybe introduce yourself, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm Val Pancakes. I am so fortunate that I get to go to a lot of wrestling. And over the past really 6 years, I've been going to a lot of wrestling, and that includes the SEI tournament, which is where I met you guys, which has been awesome. And it's coming up. It's one of my, other than like Mania weekend, it's my favorite thing of the year. So I'm very excited that you guys will have me to talk about it. I'm a yapper, so.
The joy is on our side. So, yeah. And as always, we don't just have the Scenic City Invitational Tournament shows. We have a whole weekend, and therefore we would like to start with the prelude, so to say. Because on Thursday, July 16th, we will have James Chuck Prelance Night Zero. So first of all, for the people who've followed the SEI over the last years, normally we did have a TWE show on the night before. And last year we had Red Bank Roulette. As a TWE show, which was already different to the shows that we had before. And this year we have James and Chuck Presents. For the people who don't know it, James and Chuck, the wrestler, has established a series of shows that he does, I think, like about every 5 to 6 months. And this year, one of these shows will open the weekend. The match announcements include, for example, a Bullwhips and Boards match between John May Murdoch and Big Dave. A fans bring the weapons match between Tank and Dmitry Alexandrov, or the elevation death match between Jameson Chuck and Nino Extremo, among others. And of course, we want our guests to start. Well, what are your expectations of this show?
Just looking at the people that are booked and knowing that it's a Jameson Chuck show, I imagine that there will be a good amount of violence in this one. probably, you know, I could see some weaponry being used. So it should be kind of a more hardcore way to start off the weekend than maybe, like last year was so goofy with the roulette. It was so much fun. And this will be fun too, don't get me wrong. But I think that just looking at the lineup and the people that are booked, that it's probably going to be a lot more heavy as far as the action is concerned.
As someone who's, I think, reviewed every of the James Chuck Presents show that took place so far, I think we've talked about everyone here.
Yes.
On German, of course, not on English, but we had them in our reviews. What are your expectations going into this?
Are we looking forward to that show? Like Van said, we can expect a lot of violence, I guess, on this show, which is always a great start for a weekend like this. My question for Val is, do you prepare for fans bring the weapons, so to have something that you bring to the arena?
You know, I typically don't, but I always think it would be really funny to bring like a really giant like medical textbook or something and have somebody throw the book at him, because like that's like a phrase here. It's like, ah, you throw the book at him. Like, I want to see somebody for real throw a book at somebody.
I love that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's great. But besides from that, I'm really looking forward. I'm always like these produce shows and think it's a great start for this year's tournament. So that should be a lot of fun.
I think so too. It's a good way to start this weekend. I'm especially looking forward to the Fence Brings a Weapons match because I always enjoy these kinds of matches. And I think it will be a fun show. And I don't even know if it's live on IWTV, but I just hope that it will be available soon for us to watch here in Germany as well. And now we come to something more like traditional, but this year maybe not in a traditional format, so to speak, because as a matinee event on Saturday, we will once again have the Action Future Showcase on Saturday's afternoon. And we discussed this before starting the recording with Val, that this year is a bit different because we have the Action Future Showcase show as we know them on the same like schedule and everything. But we have a men's Futures Showcase tournament and a women's Futures Showcase tournament being included in the show this year. And the announced competitors so far are, for the women's Action Future Showcase, we have Sigrid, Ashton Alexander, Ravenna Vane, and Cohen Joy. And for the male side of things, we have Grayson Pierce and Hayden Seal. And this time I would like to start with you, Drew. What do you think about this year's Futures tournament format? And who are your picks to win both tournaments, at least from the people we know so far? We also have to say we don't really know how large the field of competitors will be.
I like that they split it and they made a female and a male version of this. And as you see, as the participants you just read, you're far more female competitors than male competitors. So it seems like that the choices for female competitors is more easy to choose, which I really like. So you have almost a full field of women in this, and so it seems like the right decision to split this tournament up. And you have far more people, women that are graduating in this scene, so it only makes sense to split this up and have two different tournaments, I think. And that means also you have two spots for SCI this year that will be fighting for in the future showcase, and I really like that.
I didn't even think about this one, but given the past that the futures winner always got, you're absolutely right.
So for the winners, you have just two men, but I think from what is announced, I can imagine Grayson Pierce. Maybe I like him a lot, so he's a great talent, and maybe putting him in the SCI next year seems to be the reasonable fit, I guess.
Yeah.
So for the women, it's a bit more difficult because I like them all really well, and they're all really good. But my money here is on Ravenna Vane. I like her a lot, and I would love to see her win the tournament, raising the trophy, and moving to SCI next year.
I can just agree with the male field. You can't say a lot because probably we will still get a few more talents, but with the female field, I feel like it's almost screaming Ravenna Vane. I wouldn't have even been surprised if she would have been in SCI this year already. So
you mean it screams like a vampire?
Exactly. The other one I could imagine is maybe Corinne Joy, but Ravenna Vane is a favorite for me. How do you see it, Belle? What do you think about this year's futures?
Well, I have to agree with y'all. With the men, it's really kind of too hard to tell. I have two to pick from. Toss up for me either way. But I, based on who's announced so far, I also think Ravenna Vane is a solid choice to win that. She's really been putting in the work, and she really has like a full fledged, you know, character and, you know, vibe about her, and she's really been improving over the last couple of years, and I would love to see her like you guys said in SCI next year. So Plus, anytime we can get more women wrestling, I will advocate for that 1,000 times out of 10. Because I love to see more women represented in wrestling just generally, but especially in these historically male tournaments. Anytime we can get more women on, I'm about it.
That's great timing, because in a few minutes we will talk about the female representation in the tournament. And now we will talk about who is in it this year. And just for the viewers, I will read out the matches, then we will talk a bit about the field and a few other aspects, and then we will talk about something that will happen on night one. And at the end, we will talk about the matches, who we will think will win it, and so on. So, the matches this year, and shout out to Matt Griffin, because all the matches were announced just days before we did this podcast. When I started to plan it, I didn't have anything, and then I had everything at once. So thank you very much, Matt. Greetings to you. And the matches are Anakin Murphy versus Big Dave, Tyler Franks versus Joseph Alexander, Zaya Broner versus Dmitry Alexandrov, London Lightning versus Mackenzie Morgan, Danny O'Ryan versus Shimbashi, Effie versus Kelsey Reagan, Tyler Stevens versus Chase Holiday, and Sal Renaro versus Kenzie Page. And my first question goes to you, Val. How do you like this year's field of competitors?
You know, I like that they're doing all first-timers. Not that there's anything wrong with anybody that's been in the past, but it had gotten a little, like, samey. And it's really cool to see a whole slate of new people, especially, you know, guys that are kind of from the, you know, that frequent the TWE, like your Big Dave, like your Anakin Murphy, but also people from, you know, I guess Tyler and Kenzie maybe, but also to have somebody like Effie come in and do this. And then, you know, to pull Isaiah Broner and Dimitri, and then of course, Danny O'Ryan and Shimbashi, who themselves are a tag team called New Fever. I like seeing a lot of different competitors and more women. Also, I love Mackenzie Morgan. She's my girl. Shout out Mackenzie Morgan.
Very interesting view on the field, because we are like wanderers between worlds, if you want to say so. Because I feel like, and I think you will agree with me and a few others said this as well, you mentioned the aspect that everyone is in it for the first time. And I think that's a good idea in terms of getting to see new faces. What I heard from multiple people here in my German circle of wrestling fans is like, yeah, this year is a bit too indie-licious for me and not a lot of big names outside of the bubble. So I would say, like, yeah, you have to be into independent wrestling, and maybe you also have to have a connection to the Southeast and everything. But I also enjoy the idea, especially if you think about where the SEI comes from. It used to be very like regional and very like indie. And yes, in the last years we had names which are maybe known on the bigger stage, like a Paul London, for example. Yeah, like Manders, for example. Maybe you have to see it as like going back to the roots, maybe going back to before, I don't know, 2023, 2022. Drew, what do you think about this? And I also want to say, like, I absolutely enjoy seeing people who work really hard for it finally get their first SEI appearance, like Big Dave, you mentioned, or Anakin Murphy, or Mackenzie. Yeah. I'm really happy for them. What do you say about it?
I love the field. To be honest, it's a great field of participants. Like I like as well. Like well said, the gimmick of we have only first timers in this in this tournament. It's nothing you can do like every year, but to make it this year and say like, okay, we have a lot of people. Well, every person in it was never in the tournament before, which doesn't mean they are like unfamiliar to the scene, but they were never in the tournament. We have, for example, some some people that attended Future Showcase in the past. You have like top stars outside of the scene, like Effie, who is like basically a worldwide known wrestler. You have like this traditional veteran spot for Saru Nauro. So you have a great field, in my opinion, and a great mix of a lot of own talents that are like regulars in the scene of TWE action and something like that, mixed with some, I say it in quotation marks, outsiders of the scenes and some like big top stars in general. So yeah, it's a great mix. So it doesn't really matter that there's no one in the tournament that was before there, because I think the lineup is still pretty stacked and doesn't have to hide from other fields.
Something that really stands out this year, something that's Val already mentioned, that for the first time ever, we have three women being represented in the tournament. Would you say that this, and the question goes to you first, Val, would you say that this could serve as a positive example for other wrestling tournaments in the future to include more women?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, anytime we can incorporate more women into these traditional male tournaments is a step in the right direction. And, you know, with Mackenzie Morgan, Kelsey Reagan, and Kenzie Page, I've seen them all have matches against men before. Like, this isn't new to them. And I like intergender wrestling. I think that wrestling is wrestling, no matter who's doing it. And if, you know, Rey Mysterio can beat the Big Show, then why can't Kelsey Reagan beat Effie?
Yeah, it's like the whole argument with the suspense of disbelief. I'm sometimes like, come on, it can be an issue, but like you said, it also can be an issue in male or male or female or female. So it doesn't really depend on the gender, in my opinion. And as you said, you mentioned Kelsey Reagan versus Effie. It's not really that you would see them and say like, oh, one of them has a massive like advantage because of physical appearance or something like this, though, or like physical how they are built and everything, overpowering the other one. So I absolutely agree with you. Drew, what do you say on this matter?
Yeah, I think it's great and should be the standard. I think like the most female we had in SCI before it was one. So
I think it was two in 2023, because it was Shazza McKenzie and Sawyer Reck, I think.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. But still, three now is an upgrade from that. So we have 1/3 of the field basically are female. Maybe we are sometime at the point where we have it half and half. I think that would be great. But no, you have to take easy steps on that. So that's okay. And I think three in general is a good sign for that, and I love that. I like all three women of them, so I think they have all deserved their spot in this tournament, and it's not wasted with them in, I would say.
Yeah, maybe it could be the start of things to come, that you maybe say like, okay, next year we have four, which would be a fourth then of the competitors, and maybe
slowly but steadily. Yeah, and we never had a female win of SCI, so it's the best chance this year to have this finally.
We never had a female finalist as well, and we will talk about this. This may change this year later on. But one thing I want to do before we talk about like the matches and everything, we have to address this, because it's really the question: how special will this year's SCI be, given that it will be the last SCI of SCI Inventor? Scott Hensley, greetings, Scott, when you're hearing this. Before stepping away from wrestling at the end of the year, and I would like to start to answer this to myself, basically, because I feel like it's very special, because it's the end of an era, given that Scott founded this over 10 years ago, and that it was like his idea, and then he got people like Dylan. Like, for the people listening who didn't hate, for the ones who don't know what I'm talking about, people like Matt Griffin involved. And yeah, it really grew into something that he maybe wouldn't have expected himself. So I think it will be emotional for him. I think it will be emotional for everyone else. I know there are still a few shows for him coming up this year, so it's not like his final goodbye. And also, at least, seems like maybe he will come back here and there. It's just like a personal thing. Has a lot going on in his life, so absolutely understandable. But yeah, I think that's definitely will play a factor into making this special. Would you agree, Drew?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I have not that deep connection to Scott, like maybe the two of you, but he's the founder of this of this whole thing. Without him, there would be no SCI. So it's always sad when someone this that deep into it leaves it. I think the reasons you explained are totally fine and absolutely reasonable, but it gives the tournament a bit more emotional side. He's a huge part. He's the ring announcer. He announced every match, every show, every participant. So he will be missing, of course. And maybe we have a little surprises down the tournament with like a farewell celebration or something like that. He just left at the end of the year, said, but it's the biggest platform to say really goodbye to him. So maybe the rest of the team has something planned for him to do that or something like that, I can see.
As the only one of us who will be in the arena this year, Val, what is your view on it? How will it be for you that it will be Scott's last SCR?
You know, I think he's done a really great job of making something that people really revere and come to. I mean, you guys come to it from all the way in Germany. So the fact that it's something that really draws people to this city, and I think, you know, of course, obviously with the help of TWE and, you know, Action and Matt and Dylan have really built the scene up here. You know, Southeast First didn't become a thing until it did. And I think that SCI had a really big part in that. And Scott's, you know, very instrumental in creating a place for people to get a bigger platform. You know, people that are here. And then to bring in other people and, you know, to really elevate wrestling in the area just by virtue of having, you know, this little tournament, quote unquote. But also, it's wrestling and nobody retires forever. So I'm sure that he will still, you know, maybe be around or maybe just not in such a capacity, you know, maybe just for fun.
Absolutely. And I would also like to take the opportunity to say thank you, Scott, for everything you did for wrestling in the Southeast, for independent wrestling in general, for people who made their first step there and are now at very big places in wrestling. For people like me, who, because of SCI, got to experience Southeast Wrestling, who got to meet a lot of people, who got to make a lot of friends, who are still my friends today, and who are supporting me through a lot of hard times. So thank you very much for everything, Scott, and I really hope to see you somewhere down the road. Yeah. I just wanted to say that. So now, before we talk about the matches of the first round, I want to talk about something else, because Mance Warner laid out an open challenge for his IWTV Championship for night one of Scenic City Invitational. And now the big question is, who will answer it? Who do you think will answer it, Drew?
I'm pretty sure it will be John Wayne Murdoch who accepting that that challenge, because he's the night before at the Jameson Shook show, he's already there, so I can imagine that he's at least the day after, maybe the whole weekend he's there. He said something of on X, like let's do this or something, and he's a deathmatch wrestler. He's a great deathmatch wrestler. Mance Warner does a lot of deathmatches, so I can see that they're fighting in a deathmatch for the IWTV championship. So that's my my pick.
Great pick, I think. And I think he's the most logic answer. I also don't, but I don't know on the other side if maybe this is all trying to lure us into a false sense of security that we think we know who it is and then it isn't. But I can't really think of anyone who, like, I maybe thought about that because I don't really know how the whole situation is with Shuk D, because he said goodbye at so many promotions that he maybe is doing the Ilya Dragunov that everyone thinks he's gone and then he's just there again. So for the people who don't know who I mean, Ilya Dragunov, who's also now from WWE, used to be at WXW, and there was this storyline where he hinted at going away and then he was a surprise competitor in the championship match on day two. And there was like a legendary moment in the Turbinenhalle in Oberhausen and everything. Yeah. All German listeners know what I'm talking about, I think. Dieses Match ist ein Three-Way-Dance, or on English, this way. This match is a Three-Way-Dance, like an iconic sentence in WXW history. But Val, who do you think will be answering the challenge?
I think Murdoch or Shuk D would be great. Part of me, and I don't know if he's cleared yet or not, or how much he's been wrestling.
I think I know who you are naming now, but please continue.
But wouldn't it be, what a return for Jaden Newman?
Yeah. That's also the thought I had, because from what we saw at the last shows, it feels like he's not far away from returning, but he didn't really say something clear. And it was already like mysterious, so to speak. So I could imagine seeing him here as well. Yeah, I had this thought as well. But yeah, with that being said, now we can talk about the matches. And I would like to start with Anakin Murphy against Big Dave. And I will start on this one. These are two of the wrestlers that I'm really happy to see here, because they've earned it. They've been in Futures. They've been around multiple years now. And in my opinion, because I also see a match I will talk about later on in the second round on the horizon for him, I think Big Dave will win this one. What do you think, Val?
I also think Big Dave will probably take this one. Just because I feel like he's really, and to both of their credit, actually, they both really worked their way up through doing a lot of TWE shows and kind of getting a footing. But ultimately, I think the biggest man alive is probably going to take this one.
Would you agree?
Sorry.
No problem.
I actually not agreeing on that. First of all, the most sad thing about this match is that one of these guys has to left the tournament in the first round. It's really really sad, I think. Because I like them both a lot, but I'm going here for Anakin for a reason. I will explain when we talk about the second round a bit deeper. But I think, I don't know why, I think you can make a good story with him through the tournament. And I just like him a little bit more than Big Dave. So, he has a lot more opportunities in the recent month, like is seen in GCW and something like that. So, my money is on Anakin Murphy on this.
You can absolutely make an argument for that. And you can also continue, Drew. What are your thoughts on Tyler Franks versus Joseph Alexander, and who will win it in your book?
It is for me a little bit of the dark horse. Maybe it can surprise a lot of fans. I think I'm not that familiar with Tyler Franks, but I like Joseph Alexander, so I pick him here for the victory.
I also pick Joseph Alexander. I think that he's a very like upcoming wrestler. He's been around for a few years, but I feel like he's getting his big break now. And so I see him as someone, and I will elaborate on it later on, who can go really, really far. So I see him winning here. And it also has to do with, I don't know if they will do something else with Hunter Drake on day two, but I also could see him teaming with Tyler Franks again, because just to say this, Drew, as someone who's maybe not that familiar with Tyler Franks, they are a tag team called Talladega Knights. And this is also how I got to know them both first in New South back in 2019, I think. And yeah, so, and they have been performing as Talladega Knights again now for a few months after a long hiatus. So, like, I could see this for the non-tournament part. But Val, what are your thoughts on this match?
I'm kind of with you guys. I think A-game, Joseph Alexander's going to take it. I got to see a lot of his work when I was going to Paradigm shows. And I think that he really has the ability. Not that Tyler Franks isn't good, but I think it's going to be Joseph Alexander. I think he's a real fun watch, and I'm glad that he's getting a little bit more of a push down here.
Absolutely agree. And you just talked about Paradigm, and I think someone who also appeared for Paradigm is Isaiah Broner, I think. And therefore, you can continue with the next match. Well, who do you think will win between Isaiah Broner and Dmitry Alexandrov?
I am so excited for this match. These two are just gonna like beat the heck out of each other, and I love that for me. maybe not so much for them, but for me, I enjoy. I've again got to see a lot of Isaiah Broner from working in Paradigm, does a ton with NAPP, which I get to go see quite frequently, and he is bigger than you expect. And I think that, you know, and I love Dmitry, don't get me wrong. Like, this is like the hard match for Val. But, like, I think Isaiah's gonna eke it out. I think he's gonna win. He was held the champion up at NAPP for, like, I don't know, like, over a year. So I think that he has proven himself in high-pressure situations. And I think that he is maybe gonna take this one.
Do you agree, or would you see a different outcome?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I really like Isaiah Broner as well. I think he is like a super underappreciated talent in the US indie scene. And I would love to see him a little bit more often in other places. But yeah, I think he's great. I like Dmitry Alexandrov, of course, as well. But most of the deathmatch guys have not that good tournaments often. Except for Tank, like, but he is like also the hometown guy, so that doesn't count really on that. So yeah, my money is on Isaiah Broner as well.
I'm the only one to disagree here, because I think that Dmitry Alexandrov will go into the next round. Especially because what you said with the deathmatch guys not having the best record, I think that maybe they want to change that, and also because I could see him have another like hardcore style match in the second round. And he would be the perfect opponent for someone else. So I see him winning. And also, I imagine that you can do something else with Isaiah Broner in non-tournament action. But I have to say that probably the more likable one is Isaiah Broner, but I go with Dmitry Alexandrov here. Yeah. And now we come to a match between someone who has been relatively new, but has established himself in TWE as someone who we all love for a couple of years now, for multiple years now. We have London Lightning versus Mackenzie Morgan and Drew. Who do you think will win this?
Yeah, Mackenzie is absolutely 1,000,000% going to win this this match. I'm pretty sure about that. He's just great. I don't have to tell you guys how great
he's
Mackenzie
awesome, yeah.
is. So I don't see her really going out in the first round, and I think another woman will go out in the first round, so that we have at least one or two of the women advancing to the next round would be great. And yeah, I think Mackenzie has the best chance out of them. So yeah, let's go Mackenzie.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's almost the clearest match of all of them.
Yeah.
So I do like London Lightning. I think he's also,
yeah. No disrespect to him, but
he's from Canada, so he's not even from the region, but he's still establishing himself there. But it's already surprising that he's in the tournament, because I feel like someone like him would have been in Futures 2 or 3 years ago. But this year, with like the whole format of only having newcomers, basically, or people who haven't been in the tournament at least before, this was his way in. And he will probably have quite a good showing, but I definitely see McKenzie winning. Would you agree, Val? Do you also see McKenzie winning?
Yeah, absolutely. McKenzie's my girl. I think she's going to win. She is so much fun to watch. She has so much energy and presence about her. I love watching her matches. I'm so fortunate every time I get to see her. She is such a delight. and I think, you know, I'm not as familiar with London Lightning. And I think that's kind of, I think most people down here probably are feeling the same. And Mackenzie, she's been in Futures. She's, you know, done TWE shows. I think she's going to get the win. I just love her. I think she's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all love her, and she's just very infectious in the most positive way, because she just has great face charisma. It's just, I think, a great human being overall, also outside of the ring. So then we have a match you already elaborated on it earlier, Val, between tag team partners, Danny O'Ryan and Shinbashi, and I would like to say that this is very hard to pick, I think. And I changed it back and forth because I'm not really sure about it, because they came up together and they also like first got to establish themselves in action. And in TWE, they are both from Texas, or they are wrestling in Texas and they are living there, I think. And yeah, it's hard to predict. I think Danny O'Ryan will win. Also because I have an idea who his second round opponent could be. And I also have an idea what you could do with Shinbashi. But it's basically a coin flip. So who do you choose to?
As you said, I think as well, it's a coin flip. It's like the most open match maybe of the first round. You can just argue it doesn't really matter who win, but I think that you have two tag team partners that facing each other is a nice little twist in it. For me, it's like 50-50. But I'm going here in my sheets with Shinbashi. I have him as a pick just because I like him a little bit more. I'm a huge fan of his work, so I could see him maybe in the second round. And I think he can work a pretty good heel. So in how I booked the tournament, I need a bit more heel so he can fit that role throughout the tournament a little bit better, in my opinion. So I have him as the winner.
What do you fancy to win it? Well,
so I think it's very interesting because they were both in Futures, I think, last year. And looking at just the field, 7 of these people I know were in Futures. So that's almost half the tournament that had a Futures appearance, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Shinbashi on this one. He's been really tearing it up. I saw him have a real banger of a match against Calvin Tankman, which he called out Calvin Tankman. Who does that? Crazy people do that. I heard that he wrestled last night at AIW, and I want to say he wrestled Joey Janela, and a friend of mine that was there said that match was fantastic. I saw Shinbashi for the first time a couple of years ago at Unsanctioned Pro, and I was like, this guy, so much fun to watch. And it's been really cool to watch him progress, even just in the short time. And I think that he would be a great pick to move on. No disrespect. Well, maybe a little disrespect to Danny O'Ryan. all in good fun. We give each other a hard time. But I think that his attitude will probably get the better of him.
Yeah, and you can also continue because we have the next female competitor in the field. And we already shortly talked about this match. We have Effie as probably the biggest name in the tournament against Kelsey Reagan. Who do you think will win this? And what do you say about this match?
I, you know, like you said, Effie is probably the biggest name in this tournament. And this one could go either way for me. But I am going to say Effie moves on. Just because he has, you know, maybe a little bit of an edge. Maybe an experience.
Yeah. Drew, would you support the statement or would you see Casey
I absolutely support the statement. I'm a huge Kelsey Reagan fan. I love her as a wrestler really much. But he has, like, maybe the toughest opponent on this, like, from a star quality. Maybe he's Effie is like the big fly-in, like we would call it here overseas. And
which is funny because he's from Atlanta. He's not from that far away. Yeah, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, he's not flying in, but he's not a regular in the scene and like in the companies that support the SCI. But so I don't really see him going out in the first round. So that you have not pick him up into random non-tournament stuff for the rest of the tournament, so that he moves at least to the semifinals.
I don't see him going out in round one either. To be honest, I think almost everyone that you would have said against him, I would always have picked Effie. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So it's a bit drawing luck for Kelsey to have him.
Drawing luck and quotation marks, yeah. absolutely. And the next match we have, Drew, who do you think will win between Chase Holiday and Tyler Stevens?
Well, I really like this matchup, like a horse fight, like in Germany we would call it Wemserei. It would chant auf die Fresse, which basically means hit each other in the face really, really hard. So
you guys have a phrase for that?
Yeah, we have.
Yes. Yeah, we do.
And the funny thing is. This is the first thing that every fly-in at WXW learns. I feel like they learned it before, like saying hello or my name is. This is the first thing. And it goes even so far that Shigehiro Irie, who used to be WXW champion, he even took it and brought it to Japan and started to use it within matches in Japan. And at first, no one really got what he was saying. But I think even a few other Japanese wrestlers started using it. Like people around Shigehiro Irie, so yeah. No praise for that.
I'm gonna need you to teach me that afterwards.
No problem.
This is like also the first thing that I think people want to learn. If we greetings to Manders, if he's hearing that, I think the first thing he learned was auf die Fresse, and the second thing he learned is how to say fuck you in German.
it's true. It's true.
Yeah. So like Manners, right?
But I will really looking forward to this match. This could be really, really cool, but I'm going with the Wall Tyler Stevens as someone who advances. He's like a homegrown talent, always there, always showing up, have great matches and something like that. So I think he will go into the second round.
Do you also see him going in the second round, Vela? Would you see Chase Holiday advance?
Again, this is another one of those matches that two people from previous Futures tournament. And
yeah, you're right, yeah.
And I think you're right. I think they are going to hit each other really, really hard. I am really looking forward to that. I like to watch both of these guys hit people. It brings me a special kind of joy. but I think that Chase is going to take this one. I think Chase maybe has a little bit more time under his belt. And I think that maybe that little experience edge might put him over the top on this.
The thing with Tyler is I think you could go two routes here. The one is that you would let him loose and do something else with him because he's so heavily involved in everything that happened with like Goten, and also the story is like finished, but there could be something on the horizon. But you also could have him as like a heel, like a tournament heel, and this is also why I see Tyler Stevens winning this.
Yeah, that was a reason for me as well, like a clear tournament heel or something like that.
And he would be a very good fit for this role. And now we have the last match, and we will have Kenzie Page, the third female in the tournament. And I don't know if you would agree, but for me, she's probably the second biggest name after Effie. I would say, yeah, maybe. Or one of the biggest names in the tournament.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
Again, someone who's also like a big name, but like from the past, like from way back. and he has been around ever since, because we are talking about Salvanoro. And Salvanoro, I looked it up. He's been active in wrestling since 1998. That's a long time. So
a lot of people in the tournament weren't born then.
I wanted to say the same thing. He's older than, his career is older than a lot of people in the tournament. And it's also crazy to think about, because something that Drew and I always talk about, also our friend Morbo, greetings to him, who is doing Voices of the Indies with me. One of the indie shows that he always talks about is IW Mid-South's Ted Petty Invitational 2004. And Salvanoro was already a part of it. So that's how much a part of independent wrestling history he is. And so he gets like the veteran spot, basically. But I have to say, I definitely see Kenzie Page winning this one. Like I said, she's one of the bigger stars. And I also have something lined up for her in the second round. I can see it. So I also see Kenzie winning here. Would you agree, Val? Do you also see Kenzie Page winning?
I do. I see Kenzie Page taking this one. You said, and I looked it up while we were kind of talking. Kenzie Page was born in 2002. So she is younger than Salvanoro's career.
Yeah. And not even close by 4 years.
Right? So I think that Kenzie's going to take it. I think she's I think if Sal wins, it would be an upset. I think that it makes sense to have Kenzie move on, because I think you're right. She is kind of the second biggest name in the tournament. I think it's good to have another woman advance. And I think that she could hold her own against, you know, any of these guys.
You agree, Drew. I think from what you already said, I think you do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, no disrespect to Salvanoro. He's like a legend in this, but he's not in it to win it. He's just a little bit for the fun factor, for the veteran spot. And I can see that would be a funny match. But it's like to 99.99%, it's like Kenzie Page winning this. And I think she can pretty far in the tournament as well. Like from like you two said, she's the second biggest name in the tournament. And I've planned in my head what could be in the next round for her. So yeah, she advances.
You already talked about the next round, and I would like to talk about it as well. Val, we'll go first with you. Who do you think will, or do you have like matches in your head that could take place in the second round, or if not, just who do you think will advance to the final, and who do you think will win it in the final?
So I honestly can't. It's incredible the way that they booked this tournament. A lot of it is because you don't find out about the round two matches until after night one. Yeah. So I mean, it's not like there's brackets or anything where you can predict it.
We can just guess, basically.
Right, but I would love to see at least in the final four. Probably Kenzie, Broner, Kenzie, Broner, Shimmy, and Effie.
Interesting.
Those are my four, final four. Okay. How they get there, I have no idea.
Okay, but if you have these four on the final, who would you see winning it? All of these four?
You know, there's a part of me in my heart of hearts that wants to say it'll be Effie. But man, I'm going to push for Isaiah Broner on this one. Like, that, he is so physically intimidating. And he's just, you know, I've been so fortunate to see him just beat ass at NAMP. I think that Broner is going to end up taking it. I think it'll be a really different pick. I think that most people won't expect it. He's not from the South. But I think that he absolutely has the talent and physical disposition and really also like the cunning to win the tournament.
I could definitely see that because he's also someone who maybe could take the next step, basically. So I would see that. Do you also have any like ideas what we could be seeing on day two of Sin City Invitational in terms of non-tournament action? Anything that you would imagine would come up? Any people, matches, whatever?
So I think it would be interesting to see some of these guys, because I think they usually at some point have like everyone that got eliminated from night one versus like divide them into two teams situation. And I think that would be interesting just to see like, you know, I think in the past, like it'd been like 4-on-4, but then, you know, night two, I could see them incorporating a lot more of the, like the TWE people.
Yes.
I could see like your Casey Owens or, Jameson Shook. Like I could see them doing something night two. And I think it would be like really interesting to see somebody like, you know, Casey Owens versus Dimitri, because they both do, you know, death matches or more hardcore matches, to maybe throw that in on night two.
Absolutely. And I also could see, like, because if I think about the matches, like I said, I could see like something, for example, like Tyler Franks and Hunter Drake teaming up against someone. I could see, for example, someone like Casey Reagan face Ravenna Vane. I could see some kind of multi-person matches, maybe also something similar to day three of 16 karat gold, that you have like what we always call like either like a flippy match where I would see someone like Annika Murphy or London Lightning in it, but you could also have like a horse fight multi-person match where you could include, like you said, Casey Owens, where you could include, if he wasn't in the tournament anymore, Broner or Alexandrov, where you could include Shibashi if he wasn't in the tournament, or Chase Holiday. Yeah. So this is also why I think that maybe some of these guys could get eliminated, because you could need them for this. I have actually, and I think Du has done the same, and we will talk about it shortly afterwards. I have tried to like book it and say like who are my people to advance to the second round or to the final, and how they do it. So the first match I see happening is Kenzie Page versus Mackenzie Morgan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I see the upset. I see Mackenzie winning this one. Because I feel like if someone beats Kenzie, it needs to be someone who's like a big fan, a big face, and who gets like a big right reaction from it. And yeah, so I see Mackenzie beating Kenzie Page. Then my second match is a match that has a lot of history, because it's like someone who won the New South title from him, from the other person. And it's Tyler Stevens against Big Dave. And I see Tyler Stevens winning that, because for me, like he's a, like I said, the heel, the tournament heel, basically. Then the third match I have is Effie versus Dmitry Alexandrov, because I could see them do another like hardcore match in the second round, and this would be it, because Effie has done hardcore and also like going into the deathmatch part of things matches. So I see Effie versus Dmitry Alexandrov, but with Effie winning. And then for like the very dynamic match, I see Danny O'Ryan versus Joseph Alexander against A-Game, and Alexander winning it. So in my booking, I have Effie, Mackenzie Morgan, Tyler Stevens, and Joseph Alexander. And I could imagine that Mackenzie is the first one to get eliminated. And then you have like the shock with Effie being eliminated. And then you have Tyler Stevens and Joseph Alexander. And like I said, Tyler Stevens are the big heel. And at the end, Joseph Alexander winning it. because I could see A-game go like the next step and the SCI win would be the next step. So my pick to, for to win it is Joseph Alexander. Is A-game, how is your booking, Drew?
Yeah, I went in a little bit of another direction. We have one match the same, like the Mackenzie Morgan versus Kenzie Page, like the obvious one. Like they have so much history together, so yeah, I can absolutely see that that they're throwing that into the second round. Maybe it would work as the final two in the finals as well, but I think you have a better spot on if you put it in the semifinals. And I have as well Mackenzie going over and advancing to the finals. Then I have a match which I think could work really well as well. And this is Joseph Alexander with Shimbashi.
It's basically like who wins between Shimbashi and Orion could face A-game. I think so too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have Shimbashi advancing to the finals, like for one of the heel spots, like.
Yeah.
Then you have Tyler Stevens versus Isaiah Broner in another big dudes doing big dude stuff.
Yeah.
Hitting each other really hard. With Tyler Stevens then going over, and so you have a second big heel in the finals.
Yeah.
And then of course, if you paid attention to what I picked for the first rounds, we have what I think could be a really cool matchup in Effie versus Anakin Murphy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just to represent of the LGBT plus community, like facing each other in the semifinals, I think they could really work well. This and then I give Anakin the big upset over Effie, kicking Effie out of the tournament and advancing into the finals. So my final would be Anakin Murphy, Tyler Stevens, Mackenzie Morgan, and Shimbashi. So you have like two big tournament or big heels in the final. And two, like, absolutely great baby faces that can cherish the crowd. And maybe you have Mackenzie and Anakin working together, eliminating Tyler Stevens first. Then Shimbashi comes, eliminates Anakin maybe. And then you have, this year is finally the time with the first ever female winner in Mackenzie Morgan. That's how we're going through this.
We'll definitely take this.
I would love to see Mackenzie take this. I would have no hard feelings about that in the least bit.
Me too. So you heard it here. Our picks are Joseph Alexander, Mackenzie Morgan, and Isaiah Broner. Yeah, and now for the last part of our preview. For the first time, we have something else after the Scenic City Invitational, because we have a Blood and Honey series event in Atlanta, which is promoted as a bonus event after Night 2. And Val, what do you think about this concept? Also, we didn't talk about this earlier. Will you be at this show as well?
I will not, unfortunately. It's on a Sunday. I have to work Monday. I'm already 5 hours.
This will be a problem. I think this will be the problem for most people. But you also have to say that, like, the location, the venue that they have in Atlanta, it's not that huge, so I think they're already like calculating that it will only be a part of people who... And of course you have to say, I mean, for your measurements in the US, 2 hours by car from Chattanooga to Atlanta is not that long, but if you would do it in Germany, and if you would say like, okay, on the day after 60 karat gold we will have like a 60 karat bonus show which is in Frankfurt, everyone would ask you, what's wrong?
Most of the people don't do that. That's right.
Yeah. So absolutely. But plus, I think, like,
Atlanta traffic is notoriously absolutely terrible. And that is the exact opposite direction that I need to go. I'm already driving like 5 hours south to Chattanooga. I'm not going to drive another 2 hours south.
Yeah.
And then like eight hours back to where I live. I wish I could do that, but alas, I cannot.
I have to say, when I say like bad traffic, I still have to apologize to my friend Marcel, who accompanied me to the first SCI, because his first experience of American traffic was Atlanta. And we were like awake for 25 hours and he gets to drive in the US for the first time, and he does in Atlanta where you have to think about like 20 minutes in advance where you want to go, because they are like 8 lanes and 3 lanes on the left and 3 lanes on the right, and if you don't know about like turning right, like 2 miles before, yeah. You are damned. So yeah, he did a phenomenal job managing all of this because it was all a lot.
Right.
Yeah, but I can absolutely understand it. What do you think about this concept in general of having like a bonus show and also of having like this show?
I like the idea of it. I wish it were closer, but I get that it's where Blood and Honey typically runs, if I recall, or at least in that general area. So I get they want to bring it back home. Unfortunately, that just means that I can't go. But the Blood and Honey shows are very interesting if you like deathmatch wrestling. I would recommend checking them out. It's a super fun watch. I watch them when they go up on IWTV.
Yeah, I mean, me too. And I also think that it's definitely, I would say, like, they know that it won't be possible for anyone, but if it's doable for you, it's just an option, and it's nice to have options, in my opinion. So it's a good thing to have, and of course, it's hard to do on a Sunday, but if you are from that region, if you're from Atlanta, maybe if you're also from Chattanooga, because it's at least not that long from there, I think it will be a great show to go to. What do you think, Drew?
Yeah, I like the concept as well. I didn't see that much shows, but I think they are always always funny. I always cheer when I see the cards, and like this time again, and then you see Matt Griffin is on the card wrestling. Like I wanted to say the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah. He runs a tournament that weekend, or co runs it with, and then he's getting in the ring as by himself and doing some deathmatch stuff. Is always funny to me.
The best part about this act is always Cooper. Also, shout out to Cooper. We had him as an interview guest. It was one of the funniest episodes we ever had. I really had struggle keeping a straight face, like reading out all the t-shirts that he does and all the slogans on it. It was hard to not burst out laughing. But yeah, I would absolutely agree, and I would also like to talk about the last point that I have here. We've now talked about the weekend, and if you followed it in the last years, you see it's like a new SCI weekend. I would like to know, how do you feel about the new SCI weekend with the Jameson Shook Presents show before the tournament, with the men's and women's action feature showcase, with the Blood and Honey series show afterwards? And the question is also, do you think it will become established in the years to come? And I have to say, I like it. I'm not entirely sure if this is a one-time thing, also given that we have this everyone is in the SCI for the first time thing. So I could imagine that maybe they do it now and then they will adjust a bit, but I can definitely see at least things about it sticking for the next years, that maybe we will have now two futures. I think with the Blood and Honey series, it always has to do with logistics. If you're able to get the venue and everything, and maybe it was just a lucky coincidence that you could do it this year, so I don't expect it for the other years as well. But how do you think about it, Val?
I think it's great that they're adding more things for people to do. I wish that Blood and Honey show wasn't so far away, but you know, I like that they're doing it. I would love to get to one of those shows someday, like kind of on my like bucket list of things I haven't done yet. Because I love deathmatch wrestling anyway, and I believe that's like Nathan Mowry's promotion, and his matches are always so much fun. His match last night was one of my favorite matches. He routinely has matches that up the ante, and I think that he's doing a good thing down there. I think it's a lot of getting a lot more people involved in deathmatch wrestling and good deathmatch wrestling, because boy howdy, there is some bad deathmatch wrestling. And wait, I'm sorry, what were you gonna say?
yeah, you can continue.
So, and I like that Jameson Shook is doing the night before show. In the past, it's been like a TWE branded show. I think it makes sense to have Jameson do that. I was looking at those matches again, and they're all like have like some like stipulations or like more of a hardcore or a deathmatch vibe. I think they saw a casket match on there. I think that's Ravenna Vane's match. So that's a lot. And, you know, I think it's a good way to get, like I said, get more different people involved. Yeah. Ravenna Vane has a casket match. Unsigned and Don't Care versus Talladega Knights are doing chairs, chairs, and more chairs. Big Dave versus John Wayne Murdoch is a bull rope. Something boards of death match. The type is really small. Yeah. I'm old. There's like a multi-person match that I can't read what the stipulation is, but we'll get to see Aaron Wade, so that's a joy.
I also think we will see him on different occasions over the weekend.
What?
I think Aaron Wade could also be one of those who we will be seeing in non-tournament action on day two, for example, of SEI.
And, you know, I just think that there's a lot of interesting stipulations.
Yeah.
Lil Sicko versus Sean Campbell's having a boot scooting death match, so that should be interesting. I'm glad that they're giving Shook the reins on this one. I think he has some really interesting ideas, and I tend to like his shows.
What are your views on it, Drew?
Yeah, I can totally agree. Like, and I think it's totally fine. Like, to try something new things out. What works better for weekend like this? I mean, Sebastian, we two are like a little bit spoiled because every year in March we have one of the biggest wrestling festivals worldwide with a lot of stuff around it as well, yeah. Which. Obviously, of course, changed over the course. Like we have like lotteries and bonanzas and indie wrestling summits and
friend showcase.
And, yeah, and all of that. So it's just a natural ambition. Progression, I think. Yeah, of course, that's like the concept. But and I think it's like a natural thing to try new things out. Look what work, what not work. Maybe put things back that work, exchange things that wasn't that great or something like that. And like in general, like progressing with having more women in the tournament. I like kind of like that you have the Jameson Chook show and you start with some deathmatch stuff. And then with the bonus show Blood and Honey series, you kind of end like with the deathmatch stuff. And maybe you have some deathmatch stuff in between. So it's like, very present on this weekend, which I really like. It's a cool thing to do. So yeah, I agree with what being said.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I just lost a little bit. I think my connection went a little bit loose. No, not like the internet connection, but with my headphones. But no problem. Were you finished, Drew?
Yeah, I was done.
Very good. So, I think we are through with the previews. Now, then I would like to thank, of course, you, Drew, for taking the time and for doing this in English, because I know you don't do it every day.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you. And, of course, a big thank you to our guest, Val. I also want to stress that she took the time today being in a hotel, because you are at the SEW Notes Bar Shows in the same venue that the SAI will be in. So thank you very much for doing this for us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for taking the time to do an English version of your podcast, because I know roughly zero German, and that would be a very short podcast.
Yeah, no problem. It's just like, as you know, for me, it's not that unusual, because I do Voices of the Indies, which is always in English. But just for our podcast, for the Catch Up podcast, it's unique, because this is the only things we do in English.
That one time of the year where we go, yeah. Switch to English for the ACI.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, with that, I want to say thank you to everyone who listens to this. And with that being said, please, if you've not watched the SEI before, give it a chance. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you say it's too much like Drew said, maybe it's too much deathmatch wrestling for you, but that's absolutely fine. But just try to broaden your horizons in independent wrestling. And this is all we are asking for. With that being said, thank you to everyone and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm not finished yet. I'm not leaving till everybody gets these hands.